All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Rinkwide Vancouver.
We welcome you inside our Rinkwide Vancouver studios in the lower lobby of the Wall Center Hotel in the heart of downtown Vancouver. And center really says it all. It's truly in the middle of the downtown core, close to just about everything from restaurants to shopping to sports and theater venues. English Bay and Stanley Park are just a walk away. Whether you have people in from out of town or you're considering a staycation for yourself, make sure it includes the Wall Center Hotel. Presentation of the Applewood Auto Group. It's all good at Applewood. Jeff Patterson joined once again by Irfan Ghaffar. And Irf, after the emotion, the excitement, the celebration on Sunday, obviously some devastating news early in the day when Thatcher Demko was ruled out of this game and likely for the remainder of this playoff series, but you have to push on. And the Canucks felt that they had enough to beat the Nashville Predators, but take some shots on goal and give the Preds credit. They got the split, as we mentioned, right off the top, and this series is heading back to Nashville in a one-all tie.
Yeah, they parked the bus. I mean, and they did a really good job of that, blocking basically everything that was thrown on net. I'm not putting this one on Casey DeSmith at all. I think that there's a lot of players on this team that are paid a lot of money if you're the Vancouver Canucks, and you just, the playoffs are a game of adjustments. You have to find a way to get your shots through. We're going to dive into it all. But yeah, a 4-1 loss for the Vancouver Canucks, and they now it's a best of five. Heading back to Nashville.
Friend or now enemy, Anthony Beauvillier opens the scoring just as the chants of Casey DeSmith were breaking out at Rogers Arena. And of course, a ton of pressure on him as the backup thrust into the starter's role, as he was for much of that six-week run when Thatcher Demko was out after the knee injury on March the 9th. This is different, though. This is playoff hockey. DeSmith came into the night with one playoff start, a game that he didn't get through back with Pittsburgh a couple of years ago. This time, you know that he wanted the opportunity, but he also wanted to make the most of the opportunity. And a minute and 11 seconds in, a high tip from Beauvillier on a Philip Forsberg shot. And we know that Casey DeSmith is aggressive, trying perhaps to make up for the fact that he's not as big as some of the goaltenders in the National Hockey League. And there he was, pushing off to his left, trying to see around a screen. And the minute that puck gets tipped back across the grain, kind of felt like slow motion in the press box, looking down and watching it. And there was nothing he could do. Half the net left wide open, and that puck finds the net. And that sort of typified the way this night was going to go. It was a tough shift for Quinn Hughes. We don't see it often, but he fumbled the puck in the offensive zone, and then he stumbled when it looked like he had the puck to break out in his own zone. And it was that misstep by the captain. And again, you don't see those very often, but unable to get the puck out of the zone, it worked its way back around Forsberg with the shot, and there was Beauvillier to tip it in. So Anthony Beauvillier, who was robbed by Thatcher Demko, and some thought maybe that was the play where Demko was injured. He finished game one, but unable to go, and we'll certainly dive into that storyline and its ramifications moving forward here. But as we continue to break this down here on Rinkwide, you know the drill by now. We want to hear from you with comments to our Great Clips inbox. So you've got all the feedback channels that are on your screen there. So hit us up. Your thoughts on this. We'll get to some listener feedback a little bit later on. But Irv, to score goals, you got to shoot the puck. Yep. And give the Preds, again, credit. They held the Vancouver Canucks under 20 shots on goal, both teams. I mean, they combined for 34 shots on goal. I think Winnipeg and Colorado had that many goals the other night. It felt like Carolina had 110 shot attempts against the New York Islanders. And here were the Vancouver Canucks held to 4 shots in the first period for a second straight game. So, you know, trying to feed off that emotion and channel the energy in the building. And the Canucks just kind of petered out. First period tonight, 2 power plays and a partial power play. And so much of the talking point coming out of this game is going to be the missed wide open net opportunity on the power play at the buzzer in the first period by Elias Pettersson. He had to find a way to put that puck in.
Well, I mean, it's not just that. I think that this goes back to the late stages of the season, basically after the All-Star break. I think if we're really going to be serious about this, Elias Pettersson, it just looks like he's lost confidence, right? He's not shooting the puck like he used to. He's not, you know, driving play like he used to or we're used to seeing here as covering the team and as fans. And when you're getting paid that kind of money and you sign the contract and you do all of that and you have 0 shots against the Nashville Predators in a playoff game, I think there's something there for that. It's something that needs to be said. I don't know if he's battling something. I think at this point, obviously, we can assume that everyone is going through something. But even some of the passes that he was making, Jeff, like into sticks of guys, shots just right into the shin guards of some of these guys. You're that good. You get paid a lot of money. You need to be able to figure it out. And that's not just on him. That's on Brock Besser. That's on JT Miller. That's on Quinn Hughes. That's on all of their top guys. Figure it out. You need to find ways to get pucks to the net. And if they're blocking you, they're getting in front, get down low, do different things. You have to adjust your game. And the Canucks didn't do that.
Pettersson had 9 shot attempts. So this idea that, you know, he's reluctant to shoot, you watch it in real time and he double clutches all the time. And yet he did put 9 pucks towards the net and couldn't hit the target once, and the glaring one was the empty net there. In fact, there's an incredible screen grab of JT Miller with his arms in the air, thinking that Pettersson was just an edge that he was going to score the goal there. He didn't, and, you know, hits the side of the net again. The radar needed to be recalibrated, whatever the case, but it was there for the Vancouver Canucks. And, you know, we can talk about puck luck, the shot attempts on this night, 84-36 in favor of the Vancouver Canucks. And yet the Predators blocked 32. So guys were manning up there and getting in front of shots and a lot of good sticks. I thought the Predators did a really good job of getting sticks into shooting lanes. So it's not always, you know, sacrificing your shin pad. Sometimes the shot blocks come with good sticks and active sticks as well. I thought the Predators did a really nice job of that. Whatever the case, the Vancouver Canucks get one goal. It came late in the second period from Nikita Zadorov, his first of these playoffs, obviously. Cole and DiGiuseppe get this. And it was a good fourth line shift.
Yeah.
It was. And, you know, the Canucks buzzing around, trying to make something happen. You know, again, if you're looking for other turning points, late in that second period, JT Miller with the slap pass, Petey in front of the net, pinballed around a little bit, ultimately off the post behind UC Saros, but not in the net. And so just one goal. Canucks scored twice in a 12-second span in Sunday's opener. Preds got 2 goals a minute and 35 seconds apart. Philip Forsberg putting some big league moves, coming out of the corner away from Noah Juulsen and deeks DeSmith down and then goes up high. And then moments later, North fans Colton Sissons with Elias Pettersson in tow, but going hard to the net. The rebound of the Beauvillier shot, and Anthony Beauvillier with a couple of points, Philip Forsberg with a couple of points. And, you know, as you look now, two games into the series, nothing for Elias Pettersson. JT Miller has a second assist on the empty netter the other night, and Brock Besser with a helper as well. So that's 2 points from really your top 3 forwards. When you look at what Forsberg's been able to do the other night, Nyquist was in on the scoring. Josi picked up point the other night as well. Bottom line is playoff time. You need your best players to show up. They're without one in Thatcher Demko, and they still should have had enough to mount more of an attack. So much of this comes down to a power play, an anemic power play that was 0 for 4 tonight, and more than 0 for 4, or just 3. Again, I mean, this is the story of the night. Put pucks to the net. They generated 3 shots on goal in 8 minutes power play time.
Well, they just passed the puck around. We've been saying this for so long. Connor Garland, it's a 4-on-4. Connor Garland is basically the shooter at the three-point line that nobody goes and guards. They say, well, do it. Take the shot right. because we know you're not going to. And they're giving him that shot every single time. So basically, it becomes a 4-on-4. And they're looking for the perfect pass. Quinn Hughes is looking for the perfect pass. Elias Pettersson was on the other side this time. JT Miller was on the right side of that power play. And still, nothing changed, right? Quinn Hughes is quarterbacking and trying to get guys, trying to move in front. Maybe Dakota Joshua in front of the net on that first power play unit. Maybe Elias Lindholm there doing something. Change up the bumper positioning. But Brock Besser scored a lot of goals on the power play. You know I've talked about this a lot. Yep. Brock Besser scored a lot of goals on the power play. And where were a lot of them, Jeff? In front, in tight, getting pucks to the net. It's like you mentioned, it's anemic. It's a problem, especially in the playoffs. And even more to that, it's been a problem leading into the playoffs. So you got to think that, you know, with 2 days off in between games now, it's gut check time for this team. I know it's 1-1. I know don't push the panic button. I know this team on paper probably is better than the Nashville Predators, but you're without your number one goalie. Your superstar center isn't producing, -3. JT Miller hasn't really been producing either. You look at Brock Besser, okay, he was okay at a couple shots on net. And Quinn Hughes is going to do Quinn Hughes things, but on a night that he was off, like he kind of was in game two, you're done.
Yeah, you know, there were a couple of things. We talked about Pettersson and the empty net there at the end of the first period. JT winds up for the big one-timer late in the second. The stick explodes. You know, again, there were just sort of tells that maybe this wasn't the Vancouver Canucks night. I don't want to detract from the Nashville Predators. Again,
no,
one of the hottest teams in the NHL down the stretch. They came into this thing knowing that they could give the Vancouver Canucks a fight. Perhaps the playing field has been tilted in their favor now that Thatcher Demko, the great eraser for the Vancouver Canucks, is out of this series in all likeliness or all likelihood. And so they're going to have to find a way. They're going to have to find a way to do more in front of Casey DeSmith, generate, get shots to the net, test UC Saros. And where on Sunday, the slow start, and they were trying to establish the physical play, and they had 20 hits in the first period, but just the four shots on goal. And you thought, okay, in the second period on Sunday, came out guns a-blazing, and got an early goal in that second period, I kind of figured that they would take a page from their script. It worked for them on Sunday. Why wouldn't you try that again? You know, they started the second period on the power play. Quinn Hughes had a shot, finally. It took until the third power play early in the second period to get a shot on goal, but it was one and done, and that was a big story on this night as well, that very little sustained pressure, opportunities. I mean, again, a ton of zone time, but as you said, I mean, the Zamboni guy may as well just kind of clear the outside lap of the rink because there was just way too much play on the perimeter. They had to find a way to get bodies there, get the puck there as well. And so now Nashville goes home feeling good about things, feeling confident. Their best players have left more of a mark on this series. The Canucks are reeling with not just Thatcher Demko, but a mystery injury or ailment to Tyler Myers, who was a late scratch. And nobody saw that coming after the morning skate when Rick Tocchet said, nope, only lineup change would be to Smith for Demko. So somewhere along the line, Tyler Myers unable to play for the Vancouver Canucks. Noah Juulsen steps in, takes a couple penalties. Power play didn't work for Nashville. They went 0-4 as well. So this wasn't a special teams battle. This was 5-on-5, and the Preds happy to clog it up and defend the way that they did. And so 2 days now between games. So one of them will basically be spent in the air. Both teams expected to travel on Wednesday, practice days on Thursday, and then they get back at it with games 3 and 4 on Friday and Sunday afternoon in Nashville, Tennessee. And so, you know, some pressure now on the Vancouver Canucks. They always say a playoff series doesn't really get interesting until the home team loses. Well, guess what? The home team lost here, and the Preds are heading home with a split, and I'm sure feeling pretty good about the way things went in game number two.
Yeah, I think you and I can both sit here and say that we didn't think it was going to be a sweep for the Vancouver Canucks at all. We know the Nashville is a good team. You mentioned one of the hottest teams, you know, heading into the playoffs. I just think that, you know, when you look at pressure, the Canucks kind of now have a little bit of pressure heading into Nashville, right? And I think it's more so you don't have your goalie. Your star players aren't playing well. You just gave the other team some life. So if you're the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, going back to the first period, Pia Suter, Ian Cole, and Sam Lafferty were the guys that had shots on net. And they had power play time, Jeff, there. I think that's a very telling story about how this game went. And that's where the alarming thing is because you had all that time on the power play. You had time to figure it out after your first power play. Right? You knew you were going to go back to the thing. There's a TV timeout coming out of that. And still, there was nothing really generated, just passing the puck around. And I know it's frustrating for Canucks fans watching this. It's got to go back to your star players. And it's unfortunate, but you're going to carry the brunt of the blame. You got bailed out by secondary scoring. But if that doesn't happen, which it tends to happen more nights than not in the playoffs, your star guys got to be your star guys, and they weren't.
Yeah, DZ on Twitter saying Canucks played to the outside all night with that collapsing defense by Nashville. Again, I want to give Nashville credit. They've got some big bodies back there. Jeremy Lauzon, Alex Carrier, obviously Luke Shen, standing their ground in front of the net, making it hard for the Vancouver Canucks to get where they wanted to be. And so, you know, there's two teams out there. Obviously, we're looking at it from a Canucks standpoint, but I thought the Predators did a lot of good things. And again, right now, their top-end guys leaving more of a mark on this series. So I'm with you. Like, there is pressure. Absolutely, there's pressure on Elias Pettersson. One goal in 15 games now at the wrong time of the season. And again, not looking dangerous. Like, that's an absolute concern. You know, you mentioned Pia Suter. He had that chance off the end boards.
Yeah.
Saros made a terrific save there as he got across from his left to his right. Watching it from my vantage point in real time in the press box, it was at the far end of the ice, and I wasn't sure ultimately where that puck went, but with the replay, that was a terrific save by UC Saros getting across to stop Pia Suter. So, yeah, there were chances. And then, as you mentioned, too, like Colton Sissons takes the slashing penalty on Brock Besser. Canucks don't do anything with it. And then the Preds take a too many men on the ice penalty
right
back to the power play. So four power play minutes early in the hockey game. And this is a power play that is spinning its wheels and looking a lot like it did down the stretch. And, you know, what's the common theme there? It's these top players that just aren't feeling it. I just didn't think the captain had his best game either. Like, you can almost always depend on Quinn Hughes. And through two games, you know, not for lack of effort. And he had two assists the other night. But I just thought he kind of was scuffling along in this hockey game. And, you know, he can be better. He will be better. And they're going to need him ultimately to be better. To now they have to win a game at Bridgestone Arena at the very least. And so they'll go to Nashville here, look to right the ship and try to get the win that they're looking for on Friday night. If not, you want to talk about pressure. They don't want any part of coming back home. No. We know there's going to be a game five here in Vancouver, but where will the series be when it returns to Rogers Arena? So, I think at this time of the year, it's fair to put it at the feet of all the best players, but certainly it feels like in our feedback channels already that it's 40 that's in the crosshairs right now.
Well, and you know, another guy, we've sat here and waxed poetically about him and how good he's been all season long. That's number 21, another complete no-show from Nils Höglander. He's got 24 goals. We said that he's a guy that players hate playing against. You know, we've been told this by other players around the league. It's the way that he's on you all of the time, that pit bull little mentality of the way he plays the game. You didn't even notice him. Another Louis Statline. We joked about it after game one.
He had one hit. That's his only statistic. This is the Energizer Bunny that teams are supposed to be chasing around the ice. And this guy has been quiet as well. I know he's not at the same price point, so it's fair to level more criticism and have higher expectations. But as you said, one of the reasons the Vancouver Canucks had the season they had was because they got unexpected offense from a player like Nils Höglander. The heat's on the top players, but through two games, like, that's a massive disappointment to me that he hasn't been in the middle of things, stirring things up, creating and forcing the Nashville Predators to sort of chase him around the ice. There's just been nothing. Yeah, I mean, the ghost of uniform number 21. You're right. I'm having some flashbacks here. They need more from everybody, but that shocks me when I look at the final stat line. Only 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes for Nils Höglander. Not a single shot attempt and just the single hit in this hockey game. Yeah. So, yeah, that line, they started with Lafferty the other night, Ilya Mikheyev tonight, and basically the same result. There's just nothing going there. And so really going to be interesting to see if Rutkowski has to reach deep into his bag of tricks and playoff hockey, all about adjustments, an extra day between games here to think about things. But I do wonder, are we going to see some new looks from the head coach when the Canucks hit the ice for game three on Friday?
He went to the Lotto line a couple times in game one early off offensive zone draws. In this game, he went to the Lotto line at 12:43 left in the third period. And I think that was telling of the desperation of how this team was getting, or maybe just the way that they were playing and everyone wasn't going. But to me, I think that is telling of kind of what he thought about his team's game, that they didn't reunite them quicker. Maybe he wanted guys to try and get going on their own. But unfortunately, it's the playoffs. You would like to have seen it earlier, but I get it from maybe his standpoint, Jeff. You load up that top line. If nobody else is going, then you're kind of screwed down the middle, to be honest.
Chad says, love how quickly the show comes on and all the video too. Not an easy production, but man, it looks good. And we got a cast of thousands working behind the scenes that you don't see, but we're having a ball doing this. We're looking forward to doing it each and every night. I'm heading to Nashville for games 3 and 4. So we'll bring you live coverage from Bridgestone Arena as well. Mike on YouTube says, systems fine in general. Canucks were off in their execution. A lot of chances, empty nets that they should have hit. I suggest players do some shooting practice. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, too. We saw Rick talk, and he said he wanted to practice on Monday, but just reading the room and the sort of emotional toll that the first playoff victory for a lot of these guys in their Stanley Cup playoff history and home game and everything else, he just thought that rest was better for this team on Monday. again, a travel day on Wednesday. I think there'll be a full practice on Thursday. So maybe we'll get an indication of the way Tockett's going to line up. But I am curious, like, what does practice look like? What do you work on? Just putting bucks on the net? Like,
you get that shooter.
Well, no, I mean, but that's as basic as it gets. I mean, those are fundamentals of the game of hockey. And yet the Vancouver Canucks struggled mightily in that area. Again, keep all that feedback coming to the Great Clips chat line presentation of Great Clips. More than 4,400 hair salons throughout the United States and Canada. Great Clips, world's largest hair salon brand and the official hair salon of the NHL. Great Clips. It's going to be great. Still to come, we'll get to our Rinkwide Vancouver 3 stars. We'll have the staff that stands out. We'll check in on our out-of-town scoreboard and the other series and a feature that we call 4 Wins for 4 Wins Brewing. And we've got another new partner that we're excited to bring into the mix, and we'll tell you about that a little bit later on. So lots to come. We'll work in more of your feedback as well. Anthony Beauvillier opens the scoring. Philip Forsberg gets what turns out to be the game winner. Made it 2-0 at 6:29 in the second period. Minute and a half after that, Colton Sisson's just going hard to the net, and the Canucks, a rebound from Casey DeSmith. And, you know, that's the issue when he's not on his game. Sometimes has trouble with that rebound control. Puck was loose there, and Sisson's charging to the net, able to bang it home. Nikita Zadorov scores. Point shot off the left side. Some traffic in front. Lafferty there. And then a big celebration that included staring down the Predators bench, which I thought was interesting in that moment, but he was fired up, and he was trying to get his teammates fired up as well.
Well, yeah, and I think that that's the one thing that you hope to have from him. I see some people tweeting some quotes that said Nikita Zadorov saying, you know, we created enough chances to go to overtime. I'm not entirely sure where he saw that the chances were created, if not a lot of the pucks were hitting the net, especially in that third period. But it's an interesting one, Jeff, because the practice, the emotional toll, you won. Like, you won that game. This is a 7-game series. Don't get me wrong. I give the fans all the credit in the world. They showed up and showed out on Sunday at Rogers Arena. It was
Ryan Kessler cranking the siren. Kessler's kid at center ice. Like, the chance for Casey DeSmith early on. Like, it was when DeSmith got introduced as the starting goaltender. Like, the place popped big time. Like, crowd wants to get behind this guy. They wanted to support him and show him some love. And unfortunately, the team didn't respond and do a whole lot to earn that kind of praise from this fan base that's just so hungry for results. And it could very well be a long series. I'm a believer, especially, look, the Preds were a 99-point team. We talked about the fact that since Christmas, they actually had a point more than the Canucks. Like, I'm not surprised that Nashville got the split here. And I kind of figured going into the series that the Canucks would have to win at least one game at Bridgestone Arena. So that's where we are right now. They've lost home ice advantage, but the series is even as it shifts to Tennessee. And again, it'll pick up on Friday and then Sunday afternoon. It is interesting, though, in the feedback channels, as I look at them, you know, the word hope is there, and not like I have high hopes for the Vancouver Canucks. It's I hope Elias Pettersson can get going here. And that's kind of where we are with this guy. Forget the contract for the time being, and the new contract hasn't kicked in. I see a lot of people hanging the money on him, even with he's still getting paid pretty nice sum this year.
Getting paid pretty good money.
Yeah. It's nuts to think that we're at that point, 2 games into this playoff series, and people are hoping that Elias Pettersson shows up. Like, that tells me that people aren't all that confident that anything is going to change. And as you said, since the All-Star break, since the contract was signed, he really has been a different and fairly indifferent hockey player.
Well, you mentioned the one goal in 15 games, right? Or whatever it was. Yeah. I think it's beyond that, right? It's not asserting yourself into the game. Yeah, he's throwing all these reverse hits. He's laying the lick on some of these players, maybe getting himself a feel for the game. But you don't need Elias Pettersson to be hitting people. You don't need Elias Pettersson to be throwing these reverse hits. You need Elias Pettersson to get the puck on net. You need Elias Pettersson to dangle guys, to do your dekes, to do all of those types of things that he does so well. There's a reason why he got that massive contract, and he's not. He's a shadow of himself, and that's why our social channels, it's wild. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm laughing because everyone is it's about Elias Pettersson. I mean, yep. Casey DeSmith, poor guy, no one's really worried or hoping Demko comes back because I think we kind of know what the news is there, and it's not good, but it's Elias Pettersson, and you're right, Jeff. The word is hope, and if that's a word for Elias Pettersson, like, when's he going to find it? I know there was so much talk about him in the bubble and how well he did and how well this team did. Well, this ain't the bubble anymore. It is not. It is playoff hockey. And now you're going to go into an away barn. Fans are going to be completely all over you again. And the series is tied. The momentum completely shifts.
So the final line for Elias Pettersson, 20 minutes and 41 seconds of ice time. He's on the ice for 3 of the 4 Predators goal, including the empty netter. you know, no shots on goal. Like, that's just so glaring. It jumps off the page. 7 attempts were blocked. 2 missed the target, including the one that hit the side of the net on the power play. Yeah, he had 3 hits and 1 more faceoffs than he lost, but who cares about the draws on a night like this one? You know, the Canucks were dominant in the faceoff. The Canucks were dominant in a lot of statistical categories, but the one that mattered the most, the big jumbotron there, high above center ice, 4-1 Nashville. And so the Vancouver Canucks have their work cut out for them. JT Miller, 22 minutes and 19 seconds of ice time. 10 shot attempts. Like, again, you want JT Miller with the puck on his stick in shooting positions. And when a guy has 10 attempts, like, that tells you that he did. But do you remember any, like, great A's for JT on this night? No. 3 shots on goal and 7 others that went amiss for him. He had a couple of hits. Crazy night in the faceoff circle for JT. Wins 14 of the 20 faceoffs that he took. So 70% on the draws. Again, they're starting with possession.
They don't do anything with it. Like, and I think that that's the thing. That's where it frustrates a lot of people. I mean, some people in our YouTube chat are saying the Canucks were unlucky. I mean, at some point, you got to create your own luck. You can't just shoot into players' skates and shin pads and hope for the best. There's different shooting lanes. There's ways to, about going, changing, you know, the way you look at your power play. There's different looks that you can do. These guys are professional athletes. And I think that the frustrating part for the fan base is the block shots and the no shots and the lack of urgency, it almost seems like there was, because there was a jump in that building. And for the Canucks, all the talk about how good it was from game one and, you know, the U2 coming out and everything like that. And Ryan Kessler, there was just no jump from the team. And I think that from that aspect of it is where the frustrating thing comes in.
Needed Ryan Kessler in the lineup. I know the hips are an issue, but he looks good still and coaching his kids' team and out here trying to sort of relive the glory of that series against the Nashville Predators way back when. But they need a Ryan Kessler at this point heading to Nashville to step up and step in and take the series over. Brock Besser, just 1 shot on goal. I think that was the one with about 6 minutes to go right off the faceoff. A pretty good look there. You know, and that would have made it a 3-2 game with a little bit of time left. But alas, UC Saros. And look, we haven't talked a lot about Saros. Goaltenders weren't terribly busy, but one guy did get the job done. And, you know, I didn't think Casey DeSmith was terrible, and I think he probably is your game 3 starter. But this team should have enough in front of Casey DeSmith to still, I think, defeat the Nashville Predators. But, again, you got to test UC Saros. And that was the big disappointment for me was, okay, so a bit of a sluggish start. They couldn't feed off the crowd in the first 20 minutes, but like, where was anything in that second period? And again, it just took way too long to get going for the Vancouver Canucks. Keep the feedback coming to us here on all of our feedback channels at Rinkwide Vancouver. You can see them on the screen here, and we will continue to incorporate your thoughts on this hockey game as we move along here. Mike on YouTube saying, would it be crazy to swap the 2 Eliases or Eliases? Could Garland Joshua spark EP40? And again, this sort of comes back to this idea of, you're hoping that other guys, that third liners, even if they're good third liners, like, they're going to spark Elias Pettersson, and it shouldn't be that way, but something's got to give here if he's going to be a factor in the series, and ultimately if the Vancouver Canucks top players are going to take over and do their thing and help this hockey club prevail in this series. All right, let's get to the Rinkwide Vancouver 3 stars of this night. The 3 stars in the building were Philip Forsberg, Alex Carrier, and Nikita Zadorov. Carrier was busy, 6 block shots to lead the Preds. We talked about them with 32 block shots. A little different here on Rinkwide Vancouver. Forsberg's the first star. He had the assist on the Beauvillier goal and then
beautiful goal.
Big time goal. Yeah. It really was. Sold the cut to the middle and then just back up top, up high on Casey DeSmith. So Philip Forsberg with a goal and an assist. Turns out to be the game winner. Best mustache in the game as well. So bonus points for him. He's the first star. I'm going with Beauvillier. Like, he sets the tone. He had the chance and was denied the other night by Demko, you know, in the right place to redirect that shot. And there's some hand eye there. But also on the Colton Sissons goal, he gets the primary assist there. He gets the shot away. And DeSmith with the rebound. So Anthony Beauvillier, who turned out to be the low ice time guy for the Preds in game number 1, which surprised me a little bit after the game when I went through the stat sheet. And I know after the game, Andrew Brunette talked about the fact that there were some missed assignments on the Pia Suter goal. And if you watch Beauvillier, not fully committed to, I mean, they blocked so many shots tonight. They could have used a block shot in that moment, and Beauvillier didn't provide it. And I think that was part of it because he barely played in the third period. But 13 minutes and 46 seconds, 4 shots on goal. He had 4 of the 16 Predator shots and scored the tone setter that got the ball rolling for them. So Philip Forsberg is the second star in this hockey game. And I'm going with Nikita Zadorov because the Canucks needed a few more guys that provided that sort of boost of energy. And you look at the numbers, 18 minutes of ice time, he scores their only goal, 2 shots on 6 attempts and 4 hits. He had the massive hit on Roman Josi that got the place going again. So, you know, I think through 2 games, Nikita Zadorov is up there on a pretty short list of the best Vancouver Canucks in this series, which good for him, but ultimately not good enough for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, I have no problem with your 3 stars there. I think that those guys are all very deserving. Philip Forsberg, just very quickly on him. People don't watch Philip Forsberg because they don't watch the Nashville Predators. You're missing out because the dude is an absolute stud. Plays well, and you can just see that with that goal, obviously in tight. He's all over the place. He hits people. He shoots the puck really well. Anthony Beauvillier, obviously, contributing as well. And then you look at Nikita Zadorov, just kind of the way that he went about business. Like, he's there. He's in. He's engaged every single shift. And that's the interesting one for me is, you know, there wasn't a lot of guys that are as engaged as Nikita Zadorov is, you know, for these 2 playoff games. Mike Herrig says, we're not winning anything, not even a raffle, if our top 6 shooter shoots only from the perimeter and avoid contact, not including Miller. He's grinding and trying. Kieran Ross, okay, I didn't think, Jeff, because there were so many times late in the season where we sat and we talked about Elias Pettersson. Mm-hmm. I had no doubt in my mind, and I really thought about this going into this postseason, that he would find the switch. There would be something there. So Kieran Ross, Petey's more conscious of the way that he's playing than people realize. He's 2 in his head thinking about whether he'll perform rather than the battle in front of him. Is that kind of basically the way that we think about it now too?
Well, we know that he can get inside his own head. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And overthink things instead of just playing on the instinct that got him to the National Hockey League, got him drafted where it did, and allowed him to burst onto the scene and score 10 times in his first 10 games as an NHL rookie and be a 100-point scorer and get the big contract. Play on those instincts. You've been given this gift and this ability to play the game, and it just feels like he's up inside his own head. And, you know, I see a lot of people, anytime he struggles, automatically it's the wrist. And I can't sit here and tell you that the wrist isn't bothering him. I saw him taping it at the start of the second period. The 4 other guys were out ready for the start of the power play, and Petey was on the bench and working on the wrist there. So there may still be something there. And then all the double clutching. Forget the one-timer. Like, the one-timer he has established as an elite weapon in the National Hockey League. But this guy has beaten goalies cleanly with his wrist shot as well. It's heavy, it's accurate, and he's taking that extra second to, and then more often than not, you know, dishing off. And that was the part of the problem too, is, you know, they would work to a guy that was open. He wouldn't shoot. And then how many times did the next pass go astray?
Yeah.
And a lot of times out of the zone, and then you had to regroup. And so, yeah, I mean, look, it was an off night, but certainly it's been a bunch of off nights for Elias Pettersson, and the body language as well after he missed that empty net at the end of the first period. So, you know, you can tell he's frustrated, but he's got to channel that frustration to find a way to get this thing done. I mean, there was so much room there. He could stand there with a bucket of pucks and not miss. And unfortunately for him, at the wrong time, hit the side of the net rather than hitting the back of the net. Again, our 3 stars, Philip Forsberg, Anthony Beauvillier, and Nikita Zadorov. 3 stars of the game brought to you by Gretabar YVR, Canucks Army's home for food, drinks, and watching the game. And make sure you attend the Canucks Army playoff watch parties for road games throughout the postseason. If you're looking for a place to watch with other Canuck fans, Gretabar YVR is your place. Friday and Sunday, tickets are $10, good food, good prizes, and a guaranteed good time. Get your tickets at nationgear.ca before they sell out. It's Jeff and Irv with you here, continuing to break down a 4-1 Nashville victory as the Predators come to town. They get the split. They have boiled this thing down to a best of 5, and they've got home ice advantage. And, you know, Bridgestone Arena is going to be hopping on a Friday night in Nashville. And then Sunday afternoon, an earlier start, 4 o'clock there, 2 o'clock back here in Vancouver. Bag isn't quite packed yet. We'll get around to that tomorrow.
Yeah.
But we'll be jumping on a plane on Thursday, getting down there for games 3 and 4. So looking forward to seeing where this series goes from here. We know it's going back to Nashville, but where's it going in terms of who's going to come back to Vancouver for a 5th game that we know is necessary? And we'll see if there's a return trip to Nashville in the offing. That's the beauty of playoff hockey. It's all about adjustments and twists and turns. And we had enough drama for one day. We'll see if there's more to come in this series. Still want to get to Thatcher Demko and where things go from here for the Canucks star netminder. Again, we're hoping to get a little bit more in the way of details on Tyler Myers, who There was no indication that he wasn't going to be available. And then the Canucks come out for warm-up, and there's Noah Juulsen, but no sign of big 57 for the Vancouver Canucks. So, you know, it wasn't just the goaltender. They were down a couple of key performers. Whatever the case, the Nashville Predators get the victory they're looking for. 4-1 was the final score. This is Rinkwide Vancouver. It's a presentation of Applewood Auto Group, the staff that stands out. Some more listener feedback. We'll get to our Rinkwide Worldwide and check in on a few more locales. We always want to know, where in the world are you listening and checking us out? Hit us up on our social channels at Rinkwide Van on Twitter and on Instagram. You can see the feedback channels. So lots of ways to connect with us. And we'll see if the Canucks can connect with the back of the net in Game 3 when this series resumes in Nashville. This is Rinkwide Vancouver.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Back on Rinkwide Vancouver, 4-1 Nashville over the Vancouver Canucks. Game 2 of this series, 4-2 on Sunday for the Canucks, 4-1 here for the Predators. So Nashville outscoring Vancouver 6-5, and games have both been tight. You can sit here and say that it could go either way. So maybe it's fitting that there's been a split to this point in the series, and we'll see how it progresses from here. This portion of Rinkwide Vancouver, a presentation the Vancouver Canadiens, and Canadiens baseball is back at the mat. Catch fireworks, giveaways, Friday nooners, superstar appearances all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. The Seas are at home right now. Don't miss the nooner at the Nat on Friday the 26th or Family Fun Sunday on the 28th. For tickets, call 604-872-5232 or go to CanadiansBaseball.com. And I know that Rick Tocchet lamenting the missed opportunities for the Vancouver Canucks. And, you know, he can put systems in place for this hockey club, but the execution comes down to the guys on the ice. They're paid well, compensated well. This is what they do for a living. When the puck is on their stick in a shooting position, they've got to find a way to challenge UC Saros. Again, 18 shots at the end of this night, not nearly enough. And the Canucks are going to have to find a way to generate a whole lot more as the series transitions to Music City, USA. All right, let's get to our staff that stands out. We always pick something after each and every one of these games that kind of caught our attention. This one is really a series stat now. I mean, 0-for-4 on the power play in this hockey game after 0-for-2 the other night against the Preds. So you add that up in a hurry, and all of a sudden, the Vancouver Canucks are 0-for-6 with the man advantage, where a power play goal, particularly when this game was still sort of hanging in the balance, could have been a massive difference, could have swung this in the Canucks' favor. But as they say, it is what it is. They didn't score on the power play. You know, if they do score on the power play, then, you know, we're probably not sitting here and talking about missed opportunities. We're probably talking about, you know, they came through a pivotal time in the series, but they didn't so far. And so 0-for-6, two games in against a Predators penalty kill. And I've made this point a couple of times, but it's worth repeating. Murphy was 22nd in the National Hockey League over the course of the season, 27th on the road, and yet it leaves town feeling pretty good about itself, 6-for-6 in the first two games of the series.
Well, I think that that's the biggest thing, is they were able to go and get that. Killing penalties is a huge momentum boost for a lot of teams in the National Hockey League. But the Canucks power play, you know, at one point in this season, was a very good power play. It was nuclear at some point. So I got a little stat here for you. Shot attempts, Canucks had 84, Preds had 36. Plus 48 shot differential is Vancouver's largest in a game since December 8th, 2010. Versus the Anaheim Ducks. So the Canucks threw absolutely everything. It just didn't make it to UC Soros, a lot of them. Rick Tocchet did speak post-game. Tyler Myers was out with the flu.
Oh.
Thatcher Demko this morning, I think he said day-to-day. Yeah, it's week-to-week now. That's what he said. So week-to-week, and I think that we can go on that and pretty much say that I don't think that Thatcher Demko is coming back in this series. I think it's Casey dismissed crease. And I think if the Canucks do end up getting past the Nashville Predators, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Let's just leave it at that. But yeah, we're going to have to wait and see.
And I think back to a number of injuries earlier this season, Carson Soucy, Demko, where week to week turned into...
a lot longer than week to week. Yeah.
So unfortunate for Thatcher Demko, a huge part of this team and its success through this regular season. An all-star, obviously, and dialed in. Had such a good start to the season. Came back, looked good in the game against Calgary. The game against Winnipeg, you know, was fine the other night against the Predators, stopped all 10 shots that he faced in the third period, but clearly something happened along the way there. And so, yeah, it's a shame for the Vancouver Canucks. talked about after the morning skate, you know, you need all sorts of bodies. I think he threw the number 28 out there. Well, they've already used 19 skaters and two different starting goaltenders, so that's up to 21, and they're only two games into this thing. And again, we'll see how that impacts the Vancouver Canucks, but that is now an edge to the Nashville Predators. I think the Canucks felt they had the advantage if a healthy Thatcher Demko was in there in this series. And, you know, we kind of looked at the outset and talked about this had the potential to be a real battle between two of the league's best goaltenders. And so Demko's out. It's on to DeSmith, who, you know, was okay, I guess, in this game when I look at the goals that were scored. But ultimately, you know, he gives up three goals on 15 shots. That's not going to get it done statistically. So he's going to have to be better as well. But the power play is the stat that stands out in this hockey game. 0-4 tonight, 0-6 in the series. And the stat that stands out is a presentation of the fine folks at Fountain Tire. And as we head further into spring, ask the Fountain Tire experts about their seasonal car care package to keep your vehicle in top shape. Find your nearest service dealer at fountaintire.com.
I got an interesting quote here I want to read from Rick Tocchet of what he said post-game. So he said, Petey's a young kid. This is his first taste of pressure. This is good for him. He's got to learn. He's got to dust himself off and be ready for game three. I think he should have dusted himself off and be ready for game one.
How about game 68?
Yeah. I mean, I get what the coach is trying to do here. And, you know, Rick Tocchet is very good at that. He picks his spots as to where he's going to talk about his players and things like that. But, it's the interesting one because to me, it's the first taste of pressure, you know, the playoff action. We talked about the bubble and how good he was and things like that. But yes, for a lot of these guys in this core group, this is your first taste of big playoff action.
Yeah. I mean, I get that he's not experienced in the playoffs, but this is a guy that performed in the Swedish Hockey League playoffs and was the MVP of the playoffs over there as a, I think, still a teenager.
Yeah.
He's 25 now. By NHL standards, that's not young.
Nope.
Like, he's played 400 games. Does he have this vast resume of playoff hockey? No, he doesn't. And that's not necessarily on him. I mean, that's just where the organization's been for the last bunch of years. But I find the word young gets thrown around, and I don't want to get hung up on the use of young. I get where Tocchet's coming from and what he's trying to do there. But by today's NHL standards, you know, 25 is kind of the start of your statistical prime. This guy's been around the block.
Connor Bedard's young.
Yeah, exactly. It's like nobody's coming along. People are talking about other ways to prop him up. It's going to have to start with Elias Pettersson digging in and just finding a way to get back to, like, he started this season on fire earth. He had 20 points in his first 10 games. And then he had that stretch in January. He was one of the stars of the month in the National Hockey League. And he, you know, in big buildings, Madison Square and in Pittsburgh, like, took over hockey games. Like, where is that guy?
He's got 20 family members here from Sweden in watching him play. I mean,
they're not happy.
They're not happy at all either. It's just, it's crazy because he is that good. And I understand the angst among the Canucks fan base, you know, all of our social channels. It's not anyone but 40. It's Elias Pettersson. That's what everyone wants to talk about.
This is a savvy market. People understand. They know that he can be better. They know that he has to be better. They've seen him be so much better And it just, like sometimes it looks like indifference, which I sure as hell hope it isn't. Yeah. Again, at the freight that he's being paid, the commitment that this club has made to him, it can't be indifference. He can be a difference maker for the Vancouver Canucks, and it's just not happening there, but we can talk about it. We could go on for hours here. I don't want that to be the storyline after Game 3 and Game 4 and Game 5. So, Petey, if you're watching, not sure that he's checking out Rink Wide, but I know lots of people are, but I don't know if he is. But, yeah, he just has to be a whole lot better. Hey, speaking of better, our program is better because we've got Bet365 on board now, and we thank them for their partnership, and we're nothing without all of our sponsors. So great to have more partners coming on board and recognizing what we are doing for you, the loyal Canuck fan, and the viewers and the watchers after and listeners after each and every one of these games.
Yeah,
what did we miss?
We're thrilled to welcome Bet365 as our sports betting partner, Jeff, just in time for the 2024 playoffs. We'll be here with Bet365 to provide you all the news, analysis, betting lines, betting options for the playoffs until one team is left standing in June. So I took a look before the game at some of the odds heading into it, and we went with like kind of an anytime goal score type of thing. So Philip Forsberg, anytime goal score, he actually was the highest favorite. So he had the best odds to score a goal. And meaning that you weren't going to make that much money if you bet him to score a goal, and you were the Nashville Predators on the money line. That was some good value there. Them in regulation, if you did, not sure many Canucks fans are going to do that. Although if you did hear the Demko news, you might have done that a little bit. But the Nashville Predators in regulation was also some very good money at +160. So it's pretty interesting to see, you know, some of these lines when you look at the games, but you can bet, you know, the Canucks heading into Nashville, it's going to be pretty close as well. It's going to be a pretty even matchup. You might give Nashville the edge just based on going back home and dismiss starting and the fact the Canucks lost that game the way that they did, but maybe almost a pick 'em, but might have to give the edge to the Nashville Predators in that one.
Well, again, we're delighted to have Bet365 on board, and they want you to know that if you open an account with Bet365 today and use the promo code VANBONUS, you can bet on a huge range of markets. So check all of that out. We'll continue to check in after each and every Canucks game here as we move along on Rinkwide Vancouver. But we'll get to our Rinkwide Worldwide segment in a moment as well. We'll find out who's been added to the map. I know that we got a fair bit of feedback between games 1 and 2 from people that were listening in. I'll have an update on Lily, who was on that cruise from Miami to Portugal. They're getting close. Cruise isn't in port yet. So hopefully Lily is still with us here, but we're charting her progress as we chart the Canucks and their efforts as well. Wednesday's going to be a travel day, so no ice for the Vancouver Canucks. Rick Tocchet will do some media in Nashville. They'll have a night to think on it, a long flight, and we'll get a little bit of an update perhaps on Tyler Myers and some others, but nothing locally here. Yeah, I thought for a sec maybe they would skate and then fly, but it's a long flight. Long trek. When you look around some of these other series, the Battle of Florida, Rangers and Washington.
Murph had a pretty good graphic. It was the Canucks to Nashville. That travel is more than all the Eastern teams combined.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So, and I wonder if they go there and skate, or is it just an avail? Maybe they do get the lot. Because Nashville came this way and skated.
But with 2 days between games, I think it's just a travel day. Yeah. Try to clear your head, to rid yourself of the memory of this one. And then I think there'll be a solid, like a hard practice on Thursday.
Yeah.
Ahead of game 3 on Friday night. Takes 4 wins to win a playoff series, so we're going to check in not just on this one, but around the National Hockey League, a segment that we're calling 4 Wins by 4 Wins Brewing, and you can see the Canucks and the Preds obviously are in a 1-1 tie. Good road win for the Colorado Avalanche, 5 goals, so 1 into an empty net, but 4 on Connor Hellebuck. So
you finally got some saves.
Yeah, and good for Alexander Georgiev. I mean, talking about early pressure in the playoffs, it was on him, and he responded, and so did his team. So Colorado heading back to Denver in a 1-1 split there. Edmonton and Vegas got wins in the opener of those series. And then you look at the other ones. We had overtime for the first time in these playoffs. Carter Verhaeghe with the winner early in OT. So Florida with a 2-0 lead on the Tampa Lightning. Washington in a bit of a hole there, and I saw the coach was calling out Ovi. 2-0, the Rangers up on the Washington Capitals. Boston going to Toronto now after the Leafs got the split there in Beantown. And the other series, Carolina, up and in control. Was it 110 shot attempts?
Yeah.
The comeback, crazy stuff going on. The Canucks with the 2 goals in 12 the other night. Hurricanes up the ante. Two goals in 9 seconds to turn that game. So there you go. There's a handful of teams that are up 2-0 in their series. So they're halfway to those four victories that you need to advance to the next round of the playoffs. Again, we're calling it four wins. And it's great to have four wins brewing as part of what we are doing here at Rinkwide Vancouver as well. So it's family owned and operated out in Delta. You can check out the Four Winds Brewing tap room and kitchen. It's located in the Tilbury area, serving beers, burgers, and their famous tacos every day from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. We don't have to get them opening earlier than you don't need tacos at 8 in the morning. 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., the hours of operations there. Also, Four Winds Light Lager. And in fact, you can see one of the cans behind me. You can ask for it at your local liquor store. Have some delivered right to your door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. Be interesting to see who is the first team in this opening round to those four victories needed to advance. I mean, the Rangers sitting pretty, and I don't think there's much doubt that there is now a gap in the Sunshine State there. The Florida Panthers, I mean, good for Tampa, you know, pushing them and taking that one. Did you see the save that Sergei Bobrovsky made?
Oh, one of the best saves I've ever seen in my life.
Like Demko Akpovilje,
yeah,
that got knocked down, like, in terms of saves of these playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, in a hurry, you've turned the page on that one, and just crazy around the world, behind the back, whatever you want to call it. It looked like prime Dominik Hasek with just an incredible save off Matt Dumba. You're going to see the highlights of that for the remainder of these playoffs.
What's going to be a bigger story? You know, Elias Pettersson here in Vancouver continuing to struggle, or William Nylander in Toronto? Will he play or won't he play? Because that's a pretty big one. That's been happening the last couple of games with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, obviously the 1-1 heading back home, so that should be interesting. But obviously William Nylander, a very big storyline surrounding that team.
Yeah, and you can see here that I've got a replica Stanley Cup behind me as well. The Canucks' pursuit of that cup. Well, it took a hard turn on this night with Nashville winning this hockey game by a score of 4-1. Again, the shots were 18-16 in the favor of the Vancouver Canucks. So, you know, you think, well, relatively low event. But again, the shot attempts, 84-36 in favor of the Canucks. 18 on goal, 35 were blocked, and 31 Canuck attempts missed the target entirely. So I would think a little bit of target practice when they get back onto the ice on Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. All right, it is time for Rinkwide Worldwide as we go around.
I love this segment.
Yeah, and there you go. Some new pins on our map. Gatineau, Quebec, so La Belle Province. We appreciate the support there.
Yes.
Down in Sacramento, California, over in Singapore. I had Scott reach out to me on one of our feedback channels in Bermuda. He was listening, probably wearing Bermuda shorts. Does everybody wear Bermuda shorts in Bermuda? I don't know, but probably wearing shorts.
Yeah.
So thanks for the support there, and Taiwan as well. So we'll just continue to drop these pins in as we go. And again, we want to hear from you. We want to add to these pins before the Canucks are done here, however long their playoff run goes. We want our map to fill up. So hit us up with where in the world are you checking out Rinkwide Vancouver? And again, outside of the Vancouver listing area. We know that we've got lots of Canuck fans here locally, but the brand is strong and a lot of ties. You know, a lot of people, this keeps them in contact with the place that they grew up, and you know, they want to feel like they are part of it here at playoff time. You can only put 18,000 in the building. So keep the feedback coming to all of our feedback channels. Where in the world are you checking out Rinkwide Vancouver?
Mike Chung from Columbus, Ohio, right now on our YouTube live chat. The Sunken Grave from Nashville, Tennessee, where we're going to have to put a pin for you because you're going to Nashville. So
yeah,
that'll be good.
I haven't been since before the pandemic. Obviously, when I was out on the road covering the Canucks, was there the night Daniel Sedin collected his 1,000th point. Remember that one well. I've seen some other good hockey games there, but never saw playoff hockey. I wasn't there traveling back in 2011, so looking forward to seeing the atmosphere and the environment. It's always fun at Bridgestone. It's a busy weekend there with the Nashville Marathon coming up, so lots of people in from out of town, and we'll see if the Vancouver Canucks play the role of happy tourists, and it's a business trip for them, so they're not really there for sightseeing.
No, it's a big-time business trip there for them. Yeah, no, it's great. Again, keep these submissions coming in. The Sacramento the other night, Gatineau, Quebec, Singapore. I think we've had a couple Taiwans, China, obviously all over South America, as you can see there. So Canucks Nation and this fan base, because so many people that were maybe born and raised here ended up leaving for jobs and families and things like that. So if you follow your team, definitely hit us up and let us know where you're at.
Yeah, I remember from my radio days, like I was surprised early on how much interaction there was in our inbox then, just on social as well, the number of people in Australia. Like, there are so many Canuck fans down under, and lots of people saying, you know, someday they want to get up here to check out a hockey game. Don't know if it's going to happen in the playoffs here, but someday. Hopefully you can get here and maybe have a chance to meet up in person. All right, let's just put a bow on this one. Yep. And it was a stinker for the Vancouver Canucks, but underscores areas that they've got to get better and improve on. I think they know, and we'll see if they use these 2 days off. You know, if the Canucks had taken the first two, I would have thought, okay, the extra day off maybe serves Nashville well just to kind of slow things down as it heads for home. But now if you're the Vancouver Canucks, like, I think you'd probably want to get right back into it. And shake this one off and try to, you know, put your best foot forward and prove that, you know, this was the one-off. But now they got to sit on this and bad taste in their mouth for an additional day. But the schedule's the same for both teams. The travel's the same for both teams. We know that there will be a game five here in this series. But, you know, what's the series stand at when it gets back to Vancouver? So pressure's on. Heat goes up. That's just the nature of the beast. And passing on the perimeter ain't going to get it done. Interested to see what adjustments Rick Tocchet makes for his hockey club, and ultimately, you know, how different do they look when that puck drops for game number three?
Well, yeah, and I think when you look at it, you mentioned the pressure. I think getting out of here is probably a good thing after a loss like that. You know what I mean? I know there was so much hype, there was so much buildup, and it was all for a great reason. You know, first time playoff home game in 9 years for this Vancouver hockey team. You know, guys have never seen it, never been around it. You know, JT Miller basically saying that other than the birth of his child and his marriage, it was the greatest thing. You know, guys talking about having tears in their eyes. So it was wild, but now you have, you got a little bit of adversity. Now you're down. Now you got to go to someone else's house and they don't like you. So it's going to be one of those things where you really got to check yourself if you're the Vancouver Canucks. But you mentioned it, Jeff, the extra day, you sit on it. So you either think about it way too much, or you better have a pretty good game plan if you're Rick Tocchet heading into practice. A little film, do what you did well and show the territorial stuff because that was good. But other than that, it's really as simple as shooting pucks and finding ways to get them on net.
Yeah, we don't want to sit here and talk about chances that the Canucks had and didn't convert. Obviously, it's going to take more than one goal. I mean, I suppose you could win with one goal. Thought maybe the Predators were going to try to do that after the Beauvillier goal. I thought maybe, you know, four shots each way in that first period. Wasn't a whole lot going on. But, you know, just quickly a thought on the atmosphere, the environment. Like, it has been so damn cool to have playoff hockey back in Vancouver. Just way too long between games. I mean, a lot's been made of that. Again, I thought the crowd was every bit as good and every bit as raucous early on, but they wanted to be rewarded by the home team, and they weren't in this one. They were in game number one. But, you know, the Preds have opened the scoring in both of these games, too. And that was sort of the bread and butter for the Vancouver Canucks on so many nights through the regular season. Both teams were out there trying to get that first one. It took Nashville a little longer in game one, but 71 seconds in this hockey game. And it took a little bit of the air out of the building. But again, the Canucks fans rallied and wanted to support DeSmith and this team and urged them to try to get them back into this thing. You know, it wasn't to be. But as you said, like, now it's the Predators fans. Now it's the Canucks that go on the road, hostile environments, things that they didn't have to deal with in the bubble. And so we'll see what impact that's going to have on this Vancouver Canuck Hockey Club. And it all gets going again on Friday night. We'll be back with another episode of Rinkwide Vancouver after that one. We'll do it after Sunday's game as well. We do it every time the Vancouver Canucks play. As long as they go here in the postseason, we're going to be here with you and looking forward to the next episode already. But I think we'll call it a night, put a wrap on this one. Applewood Auto Group is our terrific presenting sponsor. Again, if you're in the market for a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, start your search at applewood.ca. They've got a great comprehensive website to give you an idea of all of the inventory among all other brands, Ford, Nissan, Kia, Infiniti, Mitsubishi, and Chevrolet. All right, we've got Mike and Jacob working hard behind the scenes once again, helping us get to our live stream. And we thank them for all of their support. It's been fun. It wasn't as much fun after this one. But we'll be here win or loss for the Vancouver Canucks. So we break it down regardless of the results. I'm looking forward to checking in from Bridgestone Arena after Friday's game.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, as the listener and the viewer of this show, I think we're fortunate that you're going to be able to go there and, you know, go talk to players after games, be in the rooms, cover practice, you know, do what things that you're very good at doing. So I'm excited for that and excited to definitely hear your insight and your thoughts after the game and talk about the atmosphere there as well, you know, and for you to be able to go there and feel it. I think it's just great. And I think our listeners deserve it. And yeah, it's definitely going to be fun. So I look forward to Friday afternoon.
Yeah, as I said, I haven't been there since COVID. As I recall, there's some fun places to visit, too.
Well, I was there for the draft last year. It was fun.
Between the games, yes. We do this here on Rinkwide, but we're under the umbrella of the Nation Network. Already at Canucks Army, all sorts of post-game reaction, the instant reaction from David Quadrelli. Wyatt Arndt's going to have the stanchions. He did a terrific job on Sunday, sort of in his own unique style, capturing the return of playoff hockey. So we'll see what he has after game number two. And then all day tomorrow, fresh new content as this series shifts to Nashville. Canucks Convo with the Quads and Harmon in the afternoon. Sakaris and Price going live each day at 11:30. So lots of options to continue this Vancouver Canucks discussion in this playoff series with the Nashville Predators. Preds win 4-1. They even things up at one win apiece. Game three coming up on Friday in Nashville, Tennessee. For Irfan Gafar, this is Jeff Patterson. Again, thanks so much for your support. It means the world to us. It is Rinkwide Vancouver, a presentation of the Applewood Auto Group.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.